So praise the Lord this morning. Amen. His presence is just wonderful, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we have enjoyed your presence, Lord, in the worship, dear God. Lord, even on to the back room, Lord, I could feel, Lord, just the presence of the Lord amongst the people, Lord. I pray, dear God, now, Lord, may you take me, Lord, as I stand here humbly before you. Lord, I pray that you will anoint me, bring all things, Lord, to my remembrance, Lord, that I might be able, Lord, to be your mouthpiece this morning and be a blessing to the people on this day, Lord, that we, Lord, are thinking and commemorating the day when you sent your son, Lord, and was born into this world. Lord, we thank you for it, Lord. We ask you to bless this service now for your glory. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. You know, some of the scriptures that I have today, you hear them time and time again around this time of the year, especially. We know there are revelations that lay in here that it ain't the only time of the year we ever preach out of these particular passages of scripture. But I want to say that humbly that even though you may know this, the scriptures we're going to read today, I think there might be something of a blessing in it for us, something maybe that we hadn't really thought on before. It'll be a real blessing to us, I pray. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, out of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Now, remember, we had been preaching on being favored, finding favor with God. And here the angel says, you're highly favored, which means exalted in character. You are exalted in character. Wouldn't you like the Lord to send an angel to you or to think of you as being exalted in character? Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. Before we leave out of here, that's how your character is going to be. You're going to be exalted in character. Your character is going to be just right. All these things that we go through in this life, all the things we face, the trials we face, the hard times, the times of question, all of it is molding that character. Amen. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Mary, Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You may be seated. I like how the angel wanted to get a point across to her that all things are possible with God. He says, you know your cousin who they called barren? She's with child in her old age. All things are possible with God. So Mary then, she didn't question. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to conceive not knowing a man or whatever and all this. You know, how's that going to be? How's that going to happen? No, not after he said all things are possible. It's going to be the Holy Ghost overshadowing you. Now my question, knowing that the Bible, the Old Testament, the law, now it all spoke of the coming of a Messiah. And the people looked for a coming of the Messiah. And they looked for him to come and the government to be upon his shoulders. They looked for him to come, and it was supposed to be a liberating thing for them. Why a child? And that's what I'd like to title this. Why a child? Why did he come as a child? A helpless little child. Why did he have to come as a child and be born of a woman? Why could not he have, he was already begotten of God. Brother Phil so elegantly put it when he was preaching on the Godhead last, or brought out about the Godhead last Sunday. There come that Logos off from God. There was the only begotten Son. Why couldn't he have just come down, formed a body, and stepped into it? What would he have formed the body out of? This earth. He couldn't do that because then he'd be in a body that wouldn't be out of earth that wasn't redeemed. It had to be a God-created body. It had to be something that was conceived within Mary. And you know, the prophet said Mary was just the incubator. He said it was a total creation in Mary. It was by spoken word. It didn't come forth from any part of this earth. It wasn't a forming from part of the earth that made up Joseph and the part of the earth that made up Mary. It wasn't made up a part of the earth that made up Mary. No, it was a complete, total creation in her womb. Now, of course, we know that when, in the beginning, when they fell, that God spoke to the serpent and told him he was cursed and said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. We know exactly what that means. And I'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed. And so you can look and say, well, brother, that's why it had to come as a child. No. That was speaking of it, but that's not why. Because I could take you back to before that, before God spoke it. Why was he going to have to speak it? Why did it have to be a child? You know what? Coming born as a child, do you know what it caused? Do you know what heartache it caused on many families for him to be born as a child? Because Herod, when he heard from the wise men, Herod sent out and began to have the baby boys 2 years old and under killed. How many families grieved because they lost a baby boy, and all because God chose to send his son as a child? How many babies died and the families grieved? And these were families of Israel. These were families of the nation of God. They were ones that worshiped Jehovah. Might not they have said, God, why did I lose my child? And no answer came. They may have grieved, and they may have asked, and they may have questioned, and they may have thought, Lord, what God, Jehovah, what have I done? Have I done something to displease you? Have I done something to fall out of favor? Why did my little baby boy, my little child, have to die? No answer came. How many times things we go through and we wonder, why are we going through this? And we cry and we pray and no answer comes. Well, the answer is that God might be glorified through you and I. You know, I was thinking on the way in. You know, we like to be recognized for our accomplishments. And when we sacrifice as a human now, don't get all, you know, righteous on me and say, well, I'm not in touch with my human flesh. As a human, you'd like your sacrifices to be recognized. How many times you've had one of your children as they grow older and they begin to cause you trouble and you want to look at them and say, all the nights I sat up with you when you were sick and look at the way you treat me. All the times I went to work and worked and slaved to put clothes on your back and shoes on your feet and food on the table. And this is how you want to talk to me? We like to be recognized for our sacrifices. But then I thought, the prophet said, you want to know who the big man is? He said, the big fella is the one that can get down humble. That's the big one, not the one that's got his chest stuck out saying, look who I am. The one that can put forth the sacrifice, can put forth the effort. Sometimes we do things, we have to do things or we choose to do things that do put us at an inconvenience, but we're doing it out of the love. And there's times you'd like that to be recognized, but this is the thing you got to realize. It is recognized by the one that counts. He does see it. There are things, friends, that while we're in this earth, you'll never get recognition for. There's things you'll do for God. There's sacrifices you'll make for the Lord that you'll never get recognition for it here. Oh, but one day there's coming a crowning. One day we're going to step over there. And friends, I'll tell you what. There is a reward that's laid up for the righteous. Hallelujah. Those children that died while they were hiding the Lord Jesus, the child of Mary, while they were hiding him in Egypt, all those children that were killed up in the hills of Judea and round about, every one of them, friends, within 30 some years later, they were going to resurrect. They were going to resurrect not in a baby's body, but in a perfect body. I tell you, I don't understand people that think God is so incapable they say, they disagree, you know, if you bring out what Brother M said, well, all babies, when if they die, they go to heaven. I've run into people that disagree with that. They say, well, what if it was serpent seed? You think God ain't no better than that? You think God ain't got no more control than that? Actually, if you want to look at it in a simplistic way, none of the serpent seed's babies die as babies. Why? If thou doest not well, shalt thou not also be accepted? They must be given that chance. Boy, I tell you what, the word can be, the simplicity of the word can be more confounding than we think sometimes. Let's read Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You know, Brother Phil, when he was bringing out about the Godhead last Sunday, and I'll tell you what, friends, it was put so beautifully, so wonderfully, and put so simple to understand, I texted Brother Phil afterwards and told him just how much I appreciated and how much it meant to me. I've never heard it put in such an easy-to-understand way. If you missed it, go back and hear that message. It was really good, really good. Say, why'd you mention it? Because I'm trying to figure out if Jesus had two fathers. he was found with child of the Holy Ghost, but he was called the only begotten of the Father. Well, praise God. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, you know what? That I heard my dad some years ago minister a message on that. While he thought on those things, and every time I read this scripture, I think of that message, and I think of this. I think how many times when we should be thinking on those things instead of jumping the gun. What if Joseph would have jumped the gun here? What if he'd have just said, well, you know what? I've already thought I'd put her away privately. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. But he didn't. He thought on those things. And he thought on this strange thing that has come to be. Friends, I'll tell you what, you're talking about having a burden put on you. You're talking about, look, Joseph was willing to withstand all ridicule. Because you know that Jesus, one of the things he grew up under, the prophet said, he grew up under the whispered word that he was an illegitimate child born out of wedlock before Joseph, before they were actually married. Illegitimate child. I'll tell you what, that meant a whole lot more back then than what a lot of people look at it today. Back then it had been, don't go over and play with him. I don't want y'all down there playing with that boy. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Think about that. Joseph was, just the way this scripture reads, Joseph was there and he was thinking on these things. And as he thought on them, he fell asleep. Have you ever done that? Oh, sure you do. How many times you go to bed at night and you got something on your mind and you sit there and you lay there and you can't go to sleep right away. You're thinking on those things. Well, while you're thinking on them, trying to figure out how you're going to do it, start turning it over to the Lord. Start thinking on the Lord with those things. And that in the Lord all things are possible, and God has his hands upon us. And he's given his angels charge over us. Hallelujah. He's given his angels charge over us. Friends, I'll tell you something, you're under the protection of Almighty God. There's nothing could harm you or take you out of this world until God says so. No wonder. No fear of death. It's just a vehicle to take you from this dimension to that dimension. True believers shouldn't fear death. Amen? Now I know as humans in our flesh, as long as we're in this flesh, we ain't going to be able to totally get rid of the flesh's fear of death. The flesh fights to stay alive. Sure it does. Look, when someone is... And I'm not, if you were in a situation where it was a life or death situation, and I'm not talking about just dying from sickness or something like that, although people do fight to hang on to life through that. But if you were in some other situation, you know, you wouldn't be sitting around logically thinking. You ain't got time to logically think. If you're falling off a cliff and had a rope, you ain't got time to logically think, now I'll tell you what I should do. Huh? Reflexes, reaction just takes over. And then he dreamed. I'll tell you what, friends. That's happened to me. I'd lay in bed at night, be thinking on things of something that's going on. I'm thinking, Lord, I know you got it in your hand. I went to sleep, and the Lord gave me a dream. That don't make me spiritual. Lord can do the same thing for you. Yeah. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, this scripture that verse 23 is referring to, I want to just turn to it. You know it, but I want to turn to it because there's something that lays in here. It's found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I want, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to it. Because I want you to I want you to see this with your own eyes. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Boy, I tell you what, that can throw a wrench in some people's thought of the Godhead. He come forth a child, and let's go on to verse 16 so you can just see it. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Of course, you know that last part, that's the way it was, that Herod, friends, all he was just a figurehead. He wasn't really king of nothing. He was just a figurehead actually to keep the peace of Judea. That's all. Something that the Roman government allowed just to kind of keep the people in line. We'll let them have this. Won't mean a thing. Won't mean a thing because we're still their government. Herod can't stop us from doing anything. We'll do whatever we want. They're under our power and our control. But here, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. You mean there was a time when he was a child and he didn't know good from evil? See, there's a lot of people, they have a misunderstanding of the Godhead. They have a hard time understanding Jesus as a man, but also Jesus as God, the deity. You can't, you know, they'll speak of Jesus when he's 12. And then they'll speak of Jesus when he started his ministry. What, 30 some years of age. But they leave out all that portion. From birth, they'll speak of his birth, and then they jump to 12. He grew up as any other little boy. He had to know and learn the same way that you do. He had to crawl. He had to learn to walk. Mary had to sit up with him when he had a fever from cutting teeth. God being so precise in this way, friends, that how could you look and not realize that no matter what you got going on, Jesus understands? Now, when in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell from grace, and they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there was twins conceived in Eve. Now, when there's twins that are conceived, the first twin that breaks the blood cell, the first twin that comes out, obviously is the oldest. It's also the one that would possess the birthright. So Cain not only was given a chance, if thou doest well, wilt thou not also be accepted? But Cain was the firstborn. He was the first one to break the blood cell. You know, when after he murdered Abel, and then Adam knew his wife again, she conceived and brought forth Seth, and she said, he has given me, God has given me one in the place of Abel. Well, to an extent, she was right, but that wasn't the promised seed that was spoke of. That was the line the promised seed was going to come through. But that wasn't the seed that was going to bruise the serpent's head. So here it comes on down to where we get to Isaac and Rebekah. And Isaac and Rebekah, there was twins again. And the first twin, the first that broke the blood cell and come forth was Esau. Then came Jacob. So again, Esau now, just as Cain had possessed, Esau possessed the birthright. This wasn't the lineage that Christ was going to come from, because Christ couldn't come through serpent seed. But here again was that seed that raised its head and had the birthright. But Esau didn't care about the birthright. Esau looked at the birthright as a burden. Something that would be bothersome to him. Later we find out he wanted the blessing. And he thought, you know, he could just get the birthright and blessing, pass off the birthright to Jacob, and still possess the blessing. But Jacob loved that birthright. Jacob wanted that birthright. Something in him cried for it. I tell you, that something that was in him was God. I'll tell you, that something was in him was the part of God. It was the seed of God that was crying forth for that birthright. Why? Because it had lost everything in the garden. Adam had it. And he lost it. The book couldn't go into the hands of Satan. So it had to go back into the hands. It had to go back in the hands of God. The one it was from. It had to go back into his hands. But that book was sealed, and someone needed to get it back. John tells us, unless someone could get it back, then all would be lost. Jacob came upon away. You think when Esau came up and said, I'm hungry, feed me. You think Jacob thought, well, if I offer him some porridge, well, you know, he'll give it to me. No, I'd imagine at every turn, Jacob was always trying to figure out a way to get that birthright. Imagine his surprise when he said, give me the birthright and I'll feed you. And Esau said, what good is it to me if I'm dead? You can have it. Imagine Jacob's surprise. Wasn't no skin off Esau. Something happened there and Esau didn't even feel it happened. But boy, Jacob did. You imagine Jacob said, boy, I cannot wait till he eats this and leaves out of here because I'm going to have me a hallelujah breakdown. Woo, boy, I finally got what I wanted. See, Satan didn't actually know the true importance of the birthright. But as this happened, and then comes forth a nation, that is favored of God. A nation that no one, no matter how little they looked, no matter how weak they looked when they were in bondage in Egypt, it come down to it, they were a nation that no one could stand before, a nation that no one could stop. An invincible army. Satan said, you know what? I got to get that back. It don't really have a whole lot of meaning for me, but it does for God and for his children. I've got to get that thing back. And as he watched, he saw something happen. He saw that Judah failed to do his part as a father, and give Tamar, his youngest son, to bring up seed to the firstborn that had died. And he saw how she went out and dressed herself, put off her dark garments and went out and dressed herself in colors that when Judah come upon her, he thought, why, there's a harlot. And no doubt Satan looked at that and said, man, this girl has conceived of her own father-in-law. Whew. How in the world? I thought I had that line cut off. I was after the cutoff because he said that seed was going to bruise my head. So I've been after that seed. I thought I got it when I killed Abel. Now here, I thought I had stopped that. But how in the world could it come out through a daughter-in-law conceiving of her father-in-law? Oh boy, maybe I did get it. That just can't be right. Maybe I killed him. But you know, when it come to realize she had twins, and when it come time for the twins to be born, you remember the story. One of them stuck forth its arm, and the nursemaid that was there took a ribbon and tied it around the wrist. And the ham was pulled back in, and then out come the other twin. And she called him Ferris, for she said, you've broke the breach. From Ferris came two families of Judah, and from one of those families, the Hezronites, came the royal line of David and Christ. The other one Zerah was his name. The other one, renegade. The other one, there it was again. That seed that wasn't a seed of God. Tried to come forth first. But the same thing that was in Tamar that drove her to redeem that seed from Judah so that that seed line wouldn't die. Friends, listen, according to what Judah was doing, the seed line would have died with him. Because that youngest son, he couldn't be married off and raise up children, a child to himself. By the law, he had to raise up a child to the firstborn, to his brother. You remember the story. So the same thing, listen, friends, there wasn't something in Tamar that was driving her for pleasure. There was something that even Tamar herself, no doubt, could not understand. Something driving her that she must have that seed. I'll tell you, that something was God. And that same something that drove Tamar to save that seed line was the same thing that was in that infant that was in the womb. Those infants, they struggled in the womb. But it was the same thing that was in Pharaoh's. He must break the breach. He must be the firstborn. There could never be a question in Mary's mind. That's why it had to come the way it did. Before Joseph took her for wife, she had to conceive then so that there would never be a doubt. That baby did not come from being conceived of Joseph. But it came being conceived of the Holy Ghost. Adam was made from the dust of the earth. And remember when he fell, God said unto him, from dust thou camest, to dust shalt thou return. That was only spoke because man had fallen, had partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God drove him forth from the garden and put a cherub there to protect the way to the tree of life, that man could not come back and partake of the tree of life and live in the condition that he was in. We know that Christ died and his blood was shed. And it redeemed us. Amen? We know that that's where our redemption comes, was from the shed blood. But how many of you sit here in a redeemed body right now? Nobody. The soul's been redeemed, but we're sitting here in a body that's in the same condition. Even a worse condition, actually, than the body Adam was in after the fall. Because we don't hear about nobody living to be 600 or 700 or 900 years old now. Or even 300 years old. It is something when somebody reaches, You know, they put it in the news and everything else when somebody reaches the age of 100. That's really something. So we're in, our body's in a worse shape than it was back then because of all the hybrid foods and things. You imagine somebody that rode a bicycle and exercised and done everything else, was in top physical condition, die of a heart attack. Now, I'm not belittling exercise, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be in shape. I need to get there. I'm in a shape, but it's a bad shape. What I'm saying is, that ain't what's going to redeem you. That ain't what's going to save you. That ain't what's going to make your life longer. There's only one thing that can give you eternal life. Came as a child. Because, friends, this earth had to be redeemed. And for this earth to be redeemed, it could not be redeemed by just anybody. It could not be redeemed by just anybody shedding their blood. It couldn't be redeemed from just any body that could, that it'll be like your body or anybody else's body. It couldn't be redeemed from just your average, normal human being. The blood had to be spilt from a created body. A body that was created and came into this world the way you came in, except without it being through sex. I've wondered, why was it the scribes could read from Isaiah that a virgin was going to conceive and bring forth a son? Why was it they couldn't believe, well, there's something about a virgin's going to conceive or something. It's supposed to be a sign to us and that, but it ain't Mary. It ain't Mary, because I'll tell you why. She was a spouse to be a wife. Before she was a wife, she was found a child. Why they couldn't look at that? But notice this. Joseph never really made that public. He took her to be wife, but never knew her as a wife until after the birth of Christ, obviously. But Joseph didn't go out making an announcement. Well, hold on, people. An angel appeared to me, and this is what he said. Even if he had it, who would have believed him? You imagine those around, when they heard the prophecy come from Isaiah, said, what? A virgin conceived? How in the world is that going to happen? They didn't have any understanding of it. They didn't have any more understanding. The high priest in the time when Jesus was born didn't have any more understanding of what the prophet of Isaiah said than the people was there and heard it. But God revealed it by bringing it to pass. This is what I meant. God chose for it to be hidden the way it was. Because, friends, listen, that wasn't why he came as a child. He didn't come as a child to make a point. He came as a child because it had to be a created child that would break through the breach and be the firstborn of God. But it would break the breach to be born of a woman, yet not conceived of a man and woman. He had to come as a child because he had to be like you and I. You could not have, you right now could not accept the temptation of Christ if he would have come in a created adult body. Because that would have still made him something more than you. Well, sure, he could withstand temptation by using the word. Look who he was. There are some people who think that anyway. But he came as a child. So that, look, friends, you and I can look. And we can see that he came as we came. He had to learn like we learn. There was a time when he was man, human, but just formed by creation, spoke like the first Adam. It had to be spoke like the first Adam. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was born of the Father. Now, the only begotten, when you look that up in the Greek, it's talking about an only child. The only begotten, an only child. Not that it's just the first one born, but it's an only child. Now, of the flesh, he had brothers that were born of Joseph and Mary. But he wasn't actually, he wasn't the same blood flowing through his veins that was flowing through theirs. It was a created blood. It all starts from a blood cell. The conception of a child all starts from a blood cell. It was a created blood cell. There was created blood flowing through his veins. the only begotten. But see, we're made sons and daughters of God by adoption. That's what the prophet says. But how? How are we given power to become sons of God? It says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It has nothing to do with our fleshly lineage. It has nothing to do with who our flesh mom and dad is. In Romans, it speaks of Rebecca and said, we're not both those sons of Rebecca? Yet God said he hated one and loved the other. Just because mom and dad's got it don't mean you got it. You got to come and get it yourself. You don't get saved through mom and dad. It don't matter how good mom and dad is. You got to come and get salvation yourself. You have to receive him as your personal savior. And then you're not. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus said, except a man be born again. And Nicodemus questioned that. How in the world could that be? It's a birth by the word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's a new birth. We were born. Look, friends, we were born of flesh that's in an unredeemed state. And we're born with a human nature, a nature of this world. A nature that wouldn't have loved God. A nature of the world. But that nature had to die. And a new nature be born in you. And how is it born in you? Not because some preacher puts it in you. It's because the word comes and it strikes on that seed of God that you came here with. And that brings that seed to life.
Yes, good.
When that comes to life, you couldn't walk off and leave no matter what you tried.
Amen.
And if that seed lays there, it is going to come to life. It is going to come to life. You say, how? By the word. And I'm not just talking about words that come out of the mouth. I'm talking about the word that is lived. I was asked, I'm not trying to get on anybody's toes, just excuse me. I was asked about how could David get right back when I turned him out of the church. How could he get right if he wasn't here to hear the preaching? Because it wasn't the preaching of the word that was going to bring that seed to life. It was the living of the word that was going to bring that seed to life.
Amen.
The living of the word.
Yes. Through it all, dude.
Hallelujah. There's a lot that can speak the word. But it's no more than just the letter, because it's absent of the Spirit, and it's the Spirit that giveth life. Hallelujah. God was going to clothe his children in the garden. He went and he slayed a lamb. Something had to die. Brother Branham gives a description of how they were clothed in these bloody sheepskins. And he says, I can hear this. He said, what is it? He said it's that bloody sheepskin flapping against their legs as they walk out. Blood, he said, running down Adam's legs. Blood running down Eve's legs from that bloody sheepskin. He said, God watching them go forth, he couldn't lose his son that way. He said, wait just a minute. I'll put enmity between you and the serpent. I'll put enmity between his seed and thy seed. And his seed shall bruise the heel, but her seed shall bruise his head. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham goes on to describe, he said, I hear it again. He said, I hear it again. He said, what is it now? He says, the bloody garment that Jesus is wearing, his own blood running down his legs, his garment, the bloody soak of blood just beating against his legs as he walks up that hill. Why? Friends, you sitting here today, by birth through the word, you are a second Adam.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. A redeemed body. A body that was created. Therefore, it couldn't be a fallen body. Shed its created blood. And that created blood fell on an unredeemed earth. And when the blood, that created blood hit the dirt, it redeemed every element of that dirt. And in doing so, redeemed your bodies. We don't stand here this morning in a redeemed body, but it shall be. I don't know how. Y'all have heard what I've said many times. The thought that I have is, what was it that changed a serpent from being a beast of the field that walked upright to being something that ate dust, crawled on its belly? It was a change of the molecular structure. The atoms that made it up, they reformed. They went into another state. I don't know why they can't believe that. How in the world does water become ice? It changes state. How does water become gas? How does it become vapor? It changes state. How can you freeze a gas and make it into an ice? It changes state. You know what dry ice is? It's a frozen gas. Hallelujah. Oh. True Easter seal, preached in 1961, Jeffersonville, Indiana. Christ died at Calvary. How that he went up to that cross. I was reading a little book here not long ago that on some kind of research, and in this research I found something most startling. I sat down and I laid the book down and raised up my hands and praised God. Got up and walked around a little bit, sat down and read it again. And I thought, oh, is that so? That on the same hill where Jesus was crucified, Adam died and was buried on the same hill that Jesus died on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that blood would drop on the same ground where that fallen Adam had died and been buried. Oh, how precise is God. How great he is, friends, that he takes simple things like this and it's hidden. Said he died on Golgotha. And Adam was buried on Golgotha. Oh my. Oh my. How precise God is. What a sign. A sign. Yes, I promised Adam that there would be a way back. I promised I would provide a way. I promised that I would bring a redemption. Whew, think about it. Why did it have to be a child? Because it had to come through a channel that you and I come through. It had to grow up like you and I had to grow up. It had to be flesh and learn just like your flesh had to learn. The Bible says that through his suffering, he learned obedience. That's why when that flesh said there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But because he had learned obedience, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If it be thy will to take this cup, I will gladly drink from it. What was that? The prophet says God left him in the garden. Whew. When he died, he screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No longer did he feel that strength. No, he wasn't feeling that power. It had to leave so he could die. So that creative blood could be shed on the earth. Hallelujah. Imagine how you felt forsaken, felt alone. Friends, when he came back up from hell, he stood there and said, behold, I'm he that was dead, and yet I'm alive. And I hold the keys. Hallelujah to death. Oh, the keys. Oh, I'll tell you what. He was feeling the power then. And I'll tell you something. I'm feeling the power now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Lord, I'm so glad, dear God, that you came in the way you did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending your son to us, Lord, to redeem us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going through all you did. Oh, that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that song. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, thank you. Saving.
I was done. time level, Brother Gene, to